We're like a small law firm. We handle anything that comes before the Inspector General. If you look at the IG Reform Act in 2008, they required that all IGs get independent legal counsel because there were some concerns about some IGs getting legal advice from the Office of General Counsel, which obviously has a dual conflict. They represent the agency, and the question was, how can they represent the IG too? So the council serves like a small law firm. We address anything that comes up before the Inspector General's office.
Which, and, of course, you've had a pretty active Inspector General in terms of public affairs there, you know, in Brian Miller. Has that made it a little bit more exciting?
It certainly does raise some more interesting questions. I think you're referring back to the Western Regions Conference report, and the council's office was heavily involved in that.
Sure, yeah.
Yes, but we do everything. I mean, we're involved in personnel, Freedom of Information Act, ethics. It's just anything that comes up. We advise the auditors, the investigators. We talk about anything that you might see. The office has about 300 people, and anything that they can come up with, we address.
So there's 300 people in the IG legal office?
No. Oh. In the IG's office.
In the IG office, okay.
The counsel's office itself has six attorneys, me, and two paralegals.
That's a good-sized small firm, I guess, a storefront firm.
We stay busy.
All right, good. Okay, let's talk about the acquisition side of GSA, does the IG itself interact with that side? I mean, do they overlook what goes on at, say, Federal Acquisition Service and so on? I mean, what are the legal issues that might be involved there, given how highly regulated acquisition is?
Well, the IG is, but the counsel's office is not. See, we advise our client, which is auditors and investigators, et cetera, in the OIG, but we don't deal directly with GSA's acquisition service. The counsel's office works through the general counsel's office because they represent GSA, but we do advise the auditors. So lots of issues come up in their review. For example, they just did the roll-up report on the multiple award schedules where they identified three issues. And counsel's office reviewed that report before it was issued, be sure it was legally sufficient. We review a lot of reports to be sure they're legally sufficient before they're issued, but we don't see all of them. And where we have an issue that involves GSA's acquisition, we generally work through the auditors or the investigators because legal doesn't deal directly with
them. That's your client, in other words, and not the operating parts of the agency beyond
the
IG. But there must be a lot of things that come up for the IG because, just to go back to procurement, it is so highly rule and law-driven, and every year Congress makes new changes and there's new FAR changes and so on. That must mean that you have to keep IGs pretty well apprised as to what's kosher so they know what they're looking at.
Let me just tell a story here, if I could. I used to work at an agency that didn't have appropriated law and didn't have to follow the federal acquisition regulations. I didn't know how good I had it, but I came here and I made that observation at a presentation I did once, and the first question I got was, which one's better, following the federal acquisition regulations or not? And I hope the answer I gave, which I now know upon reflection, is I'm not qualified to say that they each have their benefits, they each have their downsides, and I'm not qualified to say which one is better. But, yes, there's a lot of regulations that they have to follow here, and I'm still trying to learn them. Fortunately, members of my staff are a lot more qualified to learn them than I am.
But it's important for the IG to understand at least the environment in which he or she is about to go investigating.
Yes, absolutely, and that's where the counsel's office can come in. We will advise our clients, the auditors or the investigators, about what the environment is, what the rules are, what the regulations are.
So looking a step beyond your immediate responsibility, you must come to you that people like contracting officers have a lot to deal with legally. Do you ever wish you could kind of hop over and say yes and no on this and that?
Sure, all the time, but we try not to. We try to work through the general counsel's office. Let me give you one example, the maximum order threshold. We noticed that some vendors were saying, in the context of False Claims Act cases, that they didn't have to give the price reduction to orders to the federal government over the maximum order threshold.
Right.
Let's say the maximum order threshold is $500,000. So if they sell to the government $499,000, they have to give the discount. If they sell to the government $501,000, they said they didn't have to give the discount. So the government paid higher prices. In that case, we went to our client, the auditors. They issued a report on it, and GSA agreed with us, adopted our interpretation, and fixed the problem.
Yes, because GSA has had about three very high-flying price reduction clause and best customer situations. I think Oracle was one of them, Hewlett-Packard, and Grainger, close to or maybe more than $300 million in settlement. So that's a lot of catalyst power that you really had there.
Yes, that's where the big settlements are, in the price reduction clause, defective pricing, and we get a lot of support from our auditors in that area.
Do you ever get queries from other agencies that, of course, GSA does the buying on behalf of them, but so it's not directly what they did. But do they come to you and say, what's going on here?
Sometimes, but yes, that raises a good point, that we're very unique in that GSA acts across the government. So what the IG does has an effect across the government. For example, when we do False Claims Act cases, it's not just damages to GSA. It's damages for purchases on the schedule program, which can include other agencies. And frequently, we will involve the other agencies and do joint projects. And sometimes the other agencies will contact us just as a matter of comedy and say that what's going on at GSA.
Richard Levi is general counsel for the Office of the Inspector General at the General Services Administration. And let's go back to that idea of the OIG councils across the government. Is there like a council of IG lawyer councils?
There is a council of councils. It's an informal working group that meets once a month, and it's composed of all the councils of the IGs, and there's a very useful group to have because there's lots of issues come up, and we discuss them with the other councils, and they help resolve them across the community.
I mean, what's top on that group's mind these days?
I really can't say what's tops on their minds these days. New issues come up all the day. It's all I can do to keep my head above water, just dealing with GSA.
All right, and of course, a lot of agencies have not had permanent IGs. There's several for many years running. Now those are in place. Does that kind of make it easier for council when there's a permanent IG in place versus when there's an acting?
It depends. You know, let me go back to my former job with another agency where we used to be agency-appointed IG until the agency suspended the IG. Then we had a management official appointed as the IG. Then we got a presidential IG. My job didn't change through all that. I still advised the client, and I still gave him independent advice. So it depends on the agency.
So you've seen IGs throughout government. What makes a good IG from the council's perspective?
You've got to be independent. This comes back to the analogy of the watchdog versus the lapdog. Which one do you want the IG to be? And they have to be independent, and they have to be the watchdog. They have to provide the oversight. Sometimes we're going to disagree with the general counsel's office. Sometimes we're going to disagree with the agency. It's just you have to be independent.
So that means you got to be tough, and you got to be a little bit of courage, too, I imagine.
Yes, you've got to be willing to stand up for what's right. That's what we always try to do. There's the dark side, and there's our side. We always try to stand up for what's right.